The Truth News Network. The intelligence to know the truth, the courage to speak it. TruthNewsNet.org. Dan Newman.
And welcome to our final part of this week's list of stories that we've been covering here at Truth News Network. Today, the wrap-up. The American government. Who is actually in control? When we watch, when we listen, or when we read the national news, there's really no way to tell who is actually running the U.S. government. Traditionally, it has always been the president in conjunction with the other two branches of government, legislative and judiciary branches. But to most Americans, who is the boss is unclear. The uncertainty of who is in charge has created certain chaos in the U.S. This generation has only the tragedy of 9/11 to point to as a traumatic national event around which those in government rallied all Americans. And that was almost two decades ago. The memory of 9/11 has pretty much worn off. Those memories are growing dim. Replacing that spirit of unity has so far proven to be unachievable for anyone, and many, many, many have tried. But that failure is not a product of lack of effort. There are many who have stepped to the boss podium who each have claimed power and control of U.S. government. Each has been met with one common thing, and that is not compliance or acceptance. It has been chaos. Division among Americans has reached a fever pitch, and try as they might, failure to gain the support of the American masses sufficient to quell the waves of chaos has swamped each who have tried. Ronald Reagan was the last U.S. president to rally Americans successfully to the drumbeat of unity. Reagan's government was certainly divided, but the Gipper had the ability to cross the difference lines sufficient to draw enough people together to create visible progress in most areas of our American lives. How could he do that? How did he do that? Maybe it was his successful acting career. Maybe it was that after acting, he segued into politics as California's government. I don't know. In that role, he certainly had sufficient communication experience and developed skills from acting that better prepared him to relate to different groups of people and to communicate effectively with them. Reagan's vice president briefly replaced him in the White House. Remember, Bush 41, but before he became president, Bush 41 was a classic politician. That persona branded him and virtually banished him to serve just one term as president. Bill Clinton brought the Reagan charisma back to D.C. He, too, was, as Reagan, a great communicator with the ability to cross ethnic and social and political barriers among Americans that resulted in his two terms as president. Though his tenure in the White House was marred with controversy, he left office as and remains one of the most popular U.S. presidents. Then Bush 43's election marked the beginning of the new era of American politics. This new era was birthed from the innovation of satellite television, widespread cell phone and internet access for most Americans, and the creation of a new environment which adopted in large part the title of news organizations that were really just entertainment sources disguised as news. And it has taken about two decades for Americans to fully realize all of that. Barack Obama was the first U.S. president to lead the nation from this new 24/7 information environment. It perfectly complemented his personality and his extensive communication skills. No one can reasonably argue that he was not a master of messaging in public. Regardless of the accuracy of many things he said, when he spoke, he easily and comfortably related to many in his audience. He amassed a strong following, in spite of some of his divisive political policies. And then we have Donald Trump. His entire political career is just 2 years old and can be illustrated best even with his significant governing accomplishments, as chaotic. We're not going to delve into the Trump detail in governing that results in egregious responses from his opponents. Those are very obvious, and they're very well known. We don't have enough time today to go into those things again. But it is important to point out that in these 2 short years of his administration, a new syndrome among Americans has been created, the chaos syndrome. The chaos syndrome wasn't caused by Donald Trump. The chaos caused Donald Trump. What we are seeing is not a temporary spasm of chaos, but a chaos syndrome. It's a chronic decline in the political system's fundamentals. That weakening began when presidential leadership in the U.S. slowly began a slide in its structure. Simultaneously, the U.S. Congress apparently took note and joined in that presidential slide in the abyss called chaos syndrome. It began with the weakening of the institutions and brokers, political parties, career politicians, and congressional leaders and committees that have historically held politicians accountable to one another and prevented everyone in the system from pursuing naked self-interest all the time. As these intermediaries' influence fades, politicians, activists, and voters all become more individualistic and unaccountable. The system atomizes. Chaos becomes the new norm, both in campaigns and in the government itself. Look at the White House. Look at the media surrounding the White House. Look at Congress. It's the chaos syndrome, folks. You know, our founders knew all too well about chaos. It was a condition that brought them together in 1787 under the Articles of Confederation. The central government had too few powers, and powers of the wrong kinds. So they gave it more powers and also multiple power centers. The core idea of the Constitution was to restrain ambition and excess by forcing competing powers and factions to bargain and compromise. I think you'll agree, bargaining and compromise are right now a lost art. The framers worried about demagogic excess and populist constant changes. So they created buffers and gatekeepers between voters and the government. Only one chamber, the House of Representatives, would be directly elected. A radical who wanted to get into the Senate would need to get past the state legislature, which at that time selected all the senators. A power junkie who wanted to seize the presidency would need to get past the Electoral College, which was a convocation of elders who chose the president, and so on. Those were gatekeepers and, of course, voters. So the chaos in government that daily plays out on the national stage is not the fault of our founding fathers. Whose fault is it? Listen closely. 2 words. American voters. We elect them, folks. They make and execute every law and every policy. And it's not just whoever serves as president. It's Congress, too. But oh my goodness, things are changing. And we got plenty of changes to break down. We're going to do that in just a moment here at Truth News Network.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear. TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org. Long live the courageous, the tenacious, the ones who push forward and give back. Long live the greater good, the helping hand, those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork.
commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
Election cycles come and go. White House reporters come and go. The truth is a diamond because it's forever.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Your jeweler today is Dan Newman.
Actually, I'm your jeweler every day at Truth News Network. Before we get into this last segment, let me tell you something that's in the wind that we're testing and thinking about. We've before spoken to you about possibly going live with a two-hour show every day. Well, we're getting close to making a decision, and it looks like we're going to do that. But what we're going to do is start it just doing it a couple of days a week, tentatively a Tuesday and Thursday, and it will be from 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday and Thursday getting started. More about that as we move further toward the summer. And we'll keep you posted when that's going to happen and give you more details. It's going to be interactive. You'll be able to, just like most talk shows, call in and discuss topics live on the air. So, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't feel like we're able to cover it and discuss things with you nearly as much as we need to. That's why we're considering that. Well, let's get back to our power story. Who's controlling our government? You know, Paul Ryan, as House Speaker, didn't have a chance. He didn't even want the House Speaker's job at the gavel. He was pushed unwillingly into it. And on the job, he showed it. But then Nancy Pelosi sure did relish reclaiming the Speaker's gavel after the 2018 midterm elections in which Democrats won back the House. Everyone knew what to expect from her. She had a lot of experience in wielding the power of the House Speaker position. And across the hall, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was set to join Nancy in the starting blocks. After all, he didn't change roles. He just had a new and much more powerful partner across the hall. He wasn't in control of the Senate, and he's still not. But the pair of Pelosi-Schumer knew from experience the havoc they could give to Republicans with their political might and leverage. And they've not disappointed their base in the short time the twosome has been back in those positions. And they've only had a couple of months. They could hardly wait for some time to elapse so they could find devious ways to obstruct the Trump agenda and thwart Republican legislation at every turn. There have been no two better at that job in congressional history. They're good folks. They have been the Democrats' long sought after terrible twosome. And the power they masterfully use on behalf of the Democrat Party's agenda, they're back. Not so fast, though. Here's where we get into the meat of today's show. There are some new kids in town. Nancy and Chuck have seemingly met their matches. The 2018 freshman class in the House of Representatives has thrown a monkey wrench into the Pelosi-Schumer team and the Pelosi-Schumer plan, especially three of those rookies, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, and Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota. They are dynamite. They are explosive. And they have already become the darlings of the millennial left. And Nancy and Chuck are beside themselves. Fox News published a story describing what the three have already done to hijack the power couple and wrest control of the Democrat Party platform from Pelosi and Schumer in just a couple of months. So listen to what Fox News writer had to say. Freshman Representative Rashida Tlaib's Twitter bio declares her the unbossed congresswoman for Michigan's 13th district. While the moniker has roots in Shirley Chisholm's successful campaign to become the first black congresswoman, nowadays it also could be seen as a blunt message to Democratic leadership. Nobody is bossing around the class of 2019. And that's a problem for party bosses. On everything from the Green New Deal to impeachment to criticism of Israel, a squad of first-year congresswomen are flexing their muscle and posing an implicit challenge to Democratic honchos like Speaker Pelosi. Their stridently liberal agenda and power to steer the national conversation via social media and press attention has fueled tensions inside the party tent that in turn are testing leadership's control while stirring political concerns going into 2020. All of our problems are caused by three people, one senior House Democrat lamented. That would be New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Minnesota Representatives Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, all freshmen and all uniquely unencumbered by things like decorum or deference to party elders. Ocasio-Cortez recently made waves by appearing to warn Democrats who vote with Republicans that they're, quote, putting themselves on a list of possible primary targets, though she later denied she intended such a threat. It was absolutely a threat. Tlaib famously made headlines upon taking office by bowing her very first day. Quote, impeach the mother effer in reference to President Trump. Pelosi this week tried to rein in the impeachment chatter, taking a firm public stance against that route. Yet in the immediate aftermath of Tlaib's vow, Pelosi downplayed the hubbub, saying she wouldn't use that language, but it's nothing worse than Trump has said. Fast forward to this month, and Pelosi faced another discipline problem concerning Omar. Fresh off a dispute that saw Pelosi and fellow Democratic leaders condemn the Minnesota congresswoman for suggesting American allies of Israel were financially motivated, Omar riled party leaders again after suggesting Israel supporters expect or seek allegiance to the Jewish state. The statement was widely condemned, including among senior Democrats, as echoing the age-old dual loyalty smear against Jewish politicians. Leaders hastily prepared a resolution to push back on anti-Semitism. Yet, after Pelosi faced a rebellion in the ranks amid concerns the measure would unfairly single out Omar, a Muslim, and increase security threats against her, she was recently the subject of an inflammatory poster at the West Virginia Capitol, falsely tying her to the 9/11 attacks. That resolution was overhauled. The sequence of events only fed the narrative that party leaders are struggling to rein in freshman lawmakers who are pulling Democrats off message at a critical time with the 2020 presidential campaign season already underway. Tlaib and Omar already have signed a pledge to impeach Trump. And around the same time, anti-Trump protesters were arrested outside Pelosi's office last week. Tlaib assured them she'll introduce a resolution this month, the month of March, urging the Judiciary Committee to proceed with impeachment. Looking ahead, some Democrats stress that it's critical for the party to maintain focus. There's always going to be distractions. It's 435 people who are really their own boss, and they're able to say whatever they want, freshman Representative Katie Hill, Democrat of California, told Fox News Sunday with regard to recent controversies in their caucus. So I think what we have to figure out what to do is say, okay, this isn't the views of everybody in Congress, but how do we maintain focus on our agenda as a whole? And that's the million-dollar question. None in the Democrat Party, in their leadership in Congress, at the party level also, have any idea of how to control these three rookies. And they have taken over the party. So what does it mean for the three to wrest control from Democrat Party leadership? What does that mean? Well, it means this. Honor for longtime congressional leaders in their party is gone. Respect for their party platforms, carefully crafted political measures, and the timing for their actions is gone. Democrat tradition developed over decades is gone. Willingness to work with the other party, if there was at any time previously, it's gone. The ability and desire to reason with dissenters as part of the political process, even in their own party, and not just Republicans, is gone. basing proposed legislation and party positions on agreed-to thoughts and ideas is gone. And last but not least, civility in the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, if there was any, is gone. So what are Democrats going to do? That's the million-dollar question. You know what? If it wasn't so comical, it'd be funny. Seriously, it is comical to watch Nancy Pelosi struggle to find reasonable answers to obvious questions from the media about that very thing. What are Democrats going to do? You can bet Nancy and Chuck stay huddled up somewhere regularly to collude with each other, scratching for answers. And just as quickly as they find one, the new kids step up to the microphone and make another outlandish Democrat policy statement that sounds as if it originated from the backside of Mars. Like that Green New Deal. Along with that brainstorm came the prophecy from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that the world will end in 12 years, a dozen, if we don't implement that Green New Deal. And we can do it for the low, low price of only $72 trillion over 10 years. And then there's free college for all. The new kids all signed on to Bernie Sanders' plan or something equivalent that is estimated to cost a paltry $95 billion a year. But we all know that if it's free, far more students would take advantage of it. So if it was implemented, that $95 billion price tag would probably roll into somewhere between $115 and $125 extra billion each year. Number three, forgive all college debt. At the start of this year, 2019, 58 million Americans owe a total of $1.56 trillion in college tuition debt. To forgive that, the federal government would have to tax increase Americans' tax bill 50% for 1 year to pay for forgiveness of that $1.56 trillion. And by the way, the government would have to somehow raise through increased taxes that additional $115 to $125 billion each year to pay for that newly added cost of free college for all. Raise taxes? That's no big deal. The new kids have that problem worked out. How? Simply change the marginal tax rate on America's rich to 70%. More than double it. By the way, she just floated a proposed 90% tax rate on American corporations. That's AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It'll take every bit of that money to pay for the new kids' ideas floated above. But we left one out. Medicare for all. It, too, is not original with the three. Bernie Sanders floated it first. The new kids love the idea, so it's a done deal. After all, they control the Democrat Party. The cost of Medicare for all? Just $32 trillion over 10 years. By the way, economists have analyzed the 70% proposed tax rate for the wealthiest of Americans. You will be excited to know that with that new rate, that 70% tax rate, and adding all of these new kids programs listed above, the additional tax revenue from the 70% proposed tax would almost cover all those costs. It would take care of all of the cost of those programs, except for 99% of the money it'll take to fund them. In summary, you know, in one way it's scary to believe that power in our government could possibly be controlled by any more wicked than House Speaker Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Schumer. But in this case, folks, I gotta confess, I'm scared. I'm really scared. We didn't even mention the problems with those three other than their economic ideas. On social and political levels, they're each off the charts. They make Pelosi, Schumer, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and even David Duke look like saints. But you know what is really, really scary? Many young Americans love the trio. And they love their progressive ideas. I don't know who came up with the idea of calling all the liberal money-grabbing, money-spending programs progressive, because they are not. Never mind our inability to pay for all these ideas. Never mind the dismantling of the free market system and launching a socialist nation in its place. Never mind the ridiculousness of trying to implement even one of the above ideas and watching the titans of business and industry that would immediately shutter their companies and do away with millions of their workers' jobs who they'd have to put on the street with no place else to go to work. None of that matters. They're such good ideas. Symbolism over substance is the mantra of the new kids. No, they're not the ones using that. But Americans who are realists, who read and listen, who ask questions and get real answers, and who expect reality from their elected representatives, understand. In the case of the new kids, there is no there. No substance. You know what else is good? These three are members of the House of Representatives and not the Senate. If they were in the Senate, they'd have six-year terms. They're in the House. That means they can be removed and replaced by voters in less than 2 years now, and the meter's running. If their voting constituents are paying attention and pull the other lever in November of 2020. Thank you for joining us here today at Truth News Network. Glad you're here. We're looking forward to the balance of the week and more important things for us to discuss. And we'll do it tomorrow at truthnewsnet.org. Till then, so long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.